Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Friend of mine, as a pastor, in fact, he's spoken here before. Pastor Willie George was talking about a friend of his from West Texas who was a preacher who went to Nova Scotia in Canada and was preaching at a church there. And things were going well. I mean, everything was going great until he began to tell a story. And he's telling a story. He's just an old West Texas guy. And he begins to tell this story, and he's like, yeah, this old booger did this, and this old booger did that, and this old booger did this. He said, and the crowd just shut down on him. Now, if you've ever done any speaking, I can promise you, you can tell it when somebody shuts down on you. They just put the brakes on, and man, the brakes came slamming on. And he finished the message, and afterwards he looked at the pastor. He said, I do not know what happened, but your congregation really shut down on me. They slammed the brakes on me. The pastor said, yeah. He said, it was when you told that story. He said, really? He said, yeah. He said, you used the phrase, that old booger. And the guy goes, yeah. He said, here, that would be like me using the F word in your congregation. Could you imagine what would happen if somebody came up here and kept referring to someone as that F word and that F word and that F word? I mean, you'd be right to shut down on him for that. And don't shoot him, but shut down on him. And what he didn't realize was he came out of a completely different culture. Something that was part of his life, but when he took it to another country and another culture, it was very different. And so in that, it's a great lesson for us. In the fact that when you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, so much more happened to you than you simply got heaven and missed hell. What's happened to you is that spiritually things have changed. Spiritually, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Brand new, spiritually. Brand new. Old things passed away, all things have become new. What a wonderful thing. So we talked last week about if anyone is in Christ also, not only is he a new creation, he's part of a new family. That now we're no longer separated from God. We're part of God's very own family. And in Romans it says we can say Abba, Father, which was Hebrew for basically it's like Daddy God. It's what a small child would say to his father. He's our very own father. We are his children. Aren't you glad to be in a different family? You may say, man, I came up from a really messed up family. Well, switch families. Because God's family is not messed up. It's a good family. And then we talked about being part of a different kingdom. That kingdom, we got transferred, the Bible says in Colossians, out of the kingdom of darkness, which is the kingdom where Satan rules, and we've been transferred into the kingdom of his dear son, where Jesus is our Lord. Satan no longer has authority over us. Jesus is our Lord. We're in his kingdom. He's a wonderful king. It's an eternal kingdom. It'll never change, and we're part of that kingdom now. So things have changed spiritually. But what's happened is, even though all these things have taken place spiritually, we don't typically have anything in our environment that reinforces that. That's why church is important. Because when you come in here, we're going to worship God. We're going to honor him. We're going to acknowledge him. You're going to be around people who believe in God. You're like, okay, wait a minute. I'm part of a big family. There's a lot of us. We believe in God. We believe in his kingdom. And church reinforces the new changes that have taken place in your life. That makes it valuable to us. We noticed during the pandemic how the body of Christ suffered so badly because we didn't have a chance to come together and be encouraged by the faith of one another. And so we recognize new kingdom, new family, new creation. We're having to learn some new ways. Now, in the scriptures, it talks about that don't be conformed. Paul was writing to the church of Rome. He said, don't be molded into the way the world is. And we're talking about the world. He's talking about the world without God. He said, don't be molded there. He said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, we're beginning to renew how we think, what our perspective is, how we act. And I want to talk this morning about some of new ways would mean our new expressions. Now, most of us were taught growing up, we were, whether consciously or unconsciously, we were encouraged to express ourselves. But often what we express are our fears, we express our complaints, and what we express is negative. Now, don't be offended at that, but I think most people, if you recognize, most people, that's how we've been simply taught to express. And if you think, well, no, it's not that way, okay, well, try this out. How many of you remember before Amazon and UPS and all those guys really took off, that you had to stand in line at the post office during Christmas to mail stuff? Anybody remember those post office lines? They're horrible. And so if you stood in line at the post office, all you had to do is just listen to people. They're like, oh, dear God, I could die in this line. I'm gonna turn 100 years old. And if someone just said, oh, my gosh, how much longer can I be in this line? By the way, if you work for the post office, nothing but love for you. But if, I don't want you sliding my mail somewhere else. But anyway, if you're in that line and you're saying those negative things, nobody thinks twice. All you got to do is spark a conversation is, my gosh, you could just grow old in a line like this. And everybody around you like, yeah, I heard that. So you say, well, what would you say? Well, you want to get eyes rolling? Try this. Well, praise God we're here in America, because if you're in Venezuela, they have a poor postal system. And people would look at you like you grew a third eye right in the middle of your forehead. We've been trained to express ourselves negatively. And so, and listen, it's just, I grew up in a Christian household, and good parents, love the Lord, but they didn't teach me God's ways of it. How does God's kingdom, how do we do it in His kingdom? What are His ways? Because they're better. And so I want to give you His ways this morning, but I want you to understand something. This is an aspirational thing. This is what we're shooting for, but we're learning to change our ways. But thank God we can change our ways. Listen, if the Lord changed us on the inside, if we're part of a new family and part of a new kingdom, we have the capacity to change. We can do that. So let me give you God's ways of expressing. Here's ways. Here's what works in His kingdom. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I got the same silence in the first service. People read that, they don't go, oh yeah, great. That is so different from how we've been raised. That is so different. And listen, you have to train yourself. And so what we're talking about is training, retraining ourselves. Remember, different kingdom, different rules, different family, different way of operating, new creation, we're new. And so now we have some different ways that we're going to express ourselves. I love the story of the old elderly lady, loved the Lord, retired, lived on a pension, and she just had a heart for God. She would come out every day on her porch in the morning. A lot of times she'd just lift her little hands and she'd praise the Lord and say, Lord, I want to praise you, just want to bless you. Thank you for today. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad. She had a neighbor who was a mean, crotchety old guy. And he was also an atheist. So every time she'd be up there just praising the Lord, if he was on his porch, he used to shout out, there ain't no God. And she would ignore him and just go back and praise the Lord, talk to the Lord. Well, one day she came out and she started off just by praising the Lord. Then she began to pray. She said, Lord, she said, I'm on a fixed income, Lord, and I don't have any more groceries in the house, and I don't have any more money. Lord, I need some groceries. Would you help me with the groceries? Well, her neighbor heard her, and he calls out, there ain't no God. But then he gets a bright idea. So he goes out that day and buys her two big bags of groceries. And when she's sleeping, he comes up in the night and puts the groceries on her porch. Then he hides to watch to see what happens in the morning. So here she comes out in the morning, and she sees those groceries, and she starts praising God and thanking, thank you, Lord, thank you for the groceries, thank you. And he pops out of the bushes, and he goes, there ain't no God. I bought them groceries. She looked at him, and then she looked back up. She said, "Lord, I want to thank you. Not only did you buy me groceries, but you made the devil pay for it." Rejoice, give thanks in all things. And I love that story, but more than anything else, I love the fact that this is someone who had developed a lifestyle of just thanking God and rejoicing in God. And I believe it's powerful, and I believe it, really we can see it's, I believe it's key to more than what we've realized. And I believe it's key to some of the mental health things that people deal with. Because it's just, it's a different way of responding. It's a different expression. And the man who wrote that was an expert at it. His name was Paul. Paul and his preaching buddy Silas were probably the first world, especially Paul, the first worldwide missionary who took the gospel all over the world. And he went to a town, they went to a town called Philippi, which is a port city, probably a lot like Houston, port city. And As they're preaching and sharing in there, God begins to open doors, and a businesswoman in town opened up her house, and so they had a place to stay. So they're staying there, and they're preaching. But a little girl who was a slave, and the Bible said that she was possessed with a spirit of divination, and she told fortunes. And she was following them. And she was yelling out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they show us the way of salvation." And the Bible says she did this for many days. Now, she was a fortune teller. You say, "Well, what was wrong with that?" I don't know if you want the enemy advertising for you. And so she's doing this. Finally, Paul is annoyed. He turns around. He looks at this woman. He said, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And that spirit that enabled her to tell fortunes came out. And something changed in this girl, because her masters figured out, uh-oh, she can no longer make us any money. They made a lot of money off her. But now they can't make any money anymore. And man, now they're mad. And they get Paul and Silas, and they drag them into the courts, and the magistrates commanded them, and they stripped all their clothes off of them, and they beat them with rods. Now, usually these rods were these canes. And man, when they beat you, we're not talking about a paddling. We're talking about where they would hit you, and they're beating them up and down their backs. A number of years ago, a young American man was caught in Singapore vandalizing vehicles. Some of you may remember this. And the punishment in Singapore was you got 6 lashes with a cane, and America went into an uproar. The president got involved. And those Singaporeans, they said, "Okay, he doesn't get 6, he gets 4. And they still hit him with 4, and he said it was hard to sit down for a couple of days. But they put many stripes. They beat these guys. They didn't have any advocacy groups that would spare them or inhumane. Man, they just beat them up and down. And then they took him to the prison, and they told the jailer to watch him. And he takes him and puts him in the inner prison, where it's the darkest. And in the inner prison, the jailer puts their feet in stocks. Now, I don't know if they're sitting up or having to stand. My guess is that they're sitting. Their feet are in stocks. They can't move. They got chains on them. They can't move. You talk about just an uncomfortable place. I mean, you're hurting. Have you ever had I grew up and my parents spanked. And I can remember having some spankings. I didn't get spanked with a rod. I didn't get a cane. And yet, I can remember it stung, but you can imagine they got stripes up and down their backs. They're bleeding. They're hurting. But what they do next is very insightful. So here's their story. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all of his family were baptized. Now when he brought them into a house, he set food before them, and they rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Aren't you glad the same God who did that then still does miracles now? But here's the beautiful thing. Paul and Silas are in a dark, hurting place. They're in the inner part of the prison. It is dark. They are hurting. They are hungry, but they're not helpless. And as they're there, there was nothing in them that was encouraging them to sing songs, to pray and sing hymns. And I really believe when they're praying and singing hymns, I really believe they weren't praying, "Oh God, why are we here?" And they weren't singing that hymn from Hee Haw a number of years ago, "Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Me." Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. They weren't singing that. Maybe they were singing, "This is the day, this is the day that the..." I doubt they were singing that too. But anyway, they're singing hymns and they're worshiping and they're praying and the people are listening to them. There was nothing in them that was encouraging them to sing. When you feel horrible, you do not feel like praising God. But what they did was they made a connection with God. And what Paul and Silas were doing by praying and singing, even in the middle of hurting, even in the dark prison, even wondering when they're ever going to get out, what they're acknowledging is, "God, you are bigger than this prison. You are greater than this prison." And they begin to make that connection with him. And listen, guys, I don't think this was a formula. I think this is something they had developed over the years. If you ever read Paul's story, he had gone through so many times. He said 5 times he was beaten by the Jews. They would give him 40 stripes minus one. The Jews would give you 39 stripes. 5 times he was given 39 stripes. 3 times he was beaten with rods. 2 times he was shipwrecked. He went through a lot of stuff. And yet, here he is in the prison, and he recognizes, "I may be going through a lot of stuff, but I've got confidence in a God who's bigger than this prison." And he just, they made a connection, and God moved on their behalf. And God moved. And there was an earthquake. But this wasn't an earthquake that crumbled everything and killed people. This was an earthquake that set people free. And not only were Paul and Silas, did their chains fall off and their feet come out of the stocks, but all the other prisoners, their doors flew open and their chains fell off. Let me tell you something, guys. When God does something in your life, it not only blesses you, it blesses other people around you. There's a ripple effect that goes out. It's a wonderful thing. And what they realize is their prayers and their praise, their expression was a witness. That people were listening, and it was a witness to the prisoners. It was a witness to that jailer who made the connection. He must have known something about salvation. Maybe in their prayers, they might have been praying for the prisoners in there, because he comes to them and he falls down and goes, "What do I need to do to be saved?" And because of their witness, because of their expression, because of them just beginning to praise God and to pray in the middle of a difficult time, he made that connection. This God is real. And his whole family gets saved. It's a wonderful story. But it's not just a story. It's a pattern. How do we do things differently? In God's kingdom, what works? Is it a kingdom of complaining? A kingdom of fear? No. It's a faith kingdom. It's a kingdom of rejoicing. It's a kingdom where God... Listen, when we get to heaven, there is no complaint department. And when you go before the throne, as nobody's sad, it's rejoicing time. You say, "Yeah, well, I'm not in heaven yet." Yeah, but we can bring a little heaven down to earth right now. And we can bring some of it here right now. So here's the thing. So let me give you some things today that we can learn from. And again, listen to me. This is not a formula. This is not a 1, 2, 3, and God does this and this happens. This is something we begin to develop in our life. But here's the thing. Rejoicing and praying and giving thanks is not an easy path. It's not an easy path. Because there's nothing in our feelings that help us along that line. Typically, there's nothing in our environment that help us along that line. And so when you're rejoicing and praying and giving thanks, you are swimming upstream. You are beginning, you're doing something that your feelings do not get involved in. Have you ever noticed, sometimes that you can come in here and you can come in here and you can come in a bad mood? No one in here, this is first service I'm talking about, but you can come in a bad mood, and you can come in, but about the second time you begin to sing, you start to feel good on the inside. Yeah, it's like, "Man, I didn't really feel like singing, but now that I've started singing, I feel a whole lot more like it." And of course, you got a lot of people singing with you. We got a wonderful praise team that's leading you. And so it's easier to get involved. But what happens is once you move past your feelings, you get over into the good place. Now, Joy and I went to Lakewood Church years before we ever started the Ark. We went to Lakewood Church, about 40-minute drive. Let me tell you something. You can start a huge fight in 40 minutes and fight all the way to church. I know none of y'all have done that, but we can fight all the way to church. And then just be like, rah, rah, rah. Of course, when you get out of the car, you're like, hey, brother, hey, how y'all? Good, good. Yeah, good to see you. Praise God. Yeah. And Joy said you can almost set your clock by it. But we'd get in there, and about the third song, I look over her and I go, I'm sorry. I would apologize. I could never make it through an entire worship service without apologizing, because it was typically my fault. And so what happened is my heart softened. In other words, I didn't follow my feelings. Feelings are a poor leader. They're a better follower. And so when you begin to praise God like that, listen, and you begin to rejoice and give thanks, you're not going to feel like it. But that we're learning to live in a different kingdom, under different kingdom rules. 2021. Remember when the big freeze hit? It got cold here. And I was sitting in my home. Joy was in with the fire. I'm in the bed. I had a bunch of covers just piled up. It's cold. And I hear a noise. I hear this whine. It went, and all of a sudden I hear, poof, and a pipe burst in our home, in the bedroom, and water started pouring into the bedroom. Joy came running in. This was a Monday. I had just done a message on rejoicing. Man, this is when you hate doing a message on rejoicing. I looked at her. I said, we need to rejoice. How many of you believe that Joy is sweeter than I am, kinder than I am, more Christ-like than I am, and more spiritual than I am? Well, you would be right, but she's not perfect. When I looked at her, I said, we need to rejoice. She looked at me, she said, you go first. Oh, you better practice what you preach, preacher. I'm just telling you, it was hard to do, and the Bible even knows it's hard to do, and this is why it says this in Hebrews. It said, therefore, by him, by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You say, Alan, what gets sacrificed? Your feelings get sacrificed. And so your feelings, you don't feel like it. You don't want to give thanks. You don't want to praise. But if you begin to move past that, man, now you're moving in kingdom territory. Now you're moving where God can do some things with you. Here's the second one. By beginning to express ourselves these ways, these are a great connection to God. So what you're doing is when you're giving thanks, when you're rejoicing, what you're saying is, God, I am not alone. You are in my life. Lord Jesus, you're in my life. Holy Spirit, thank you. You're in my life. I'm not alone in this. And you begin to magnify that God is bigger, greater, stronger than the situation that we're dealing with. Now, you say magnify God? Yeah, scriptures say that. Psalm 69:30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. What's it mean to magnify God? You can't make God any bigger than he actually is. Well, if I take a magnifying glass and I do it on this bottle of water, I'm not changing the size of the bottle of water, but I'm making it bigger to me. When you give thanks to God, when you praise him, when you rejoice, maybe even though you don't feel like it, what you're beginning to do is you're making God bigger to you. He's already as big as he's going to be, but you're making him bigger to you. You're magnifying him in your life. You're magnifying him above the problem. And when you begin to do that, good things begin to happen. It's just such a great perspective. We're not alone. God, you're bigger than this. For Paul and Silas, God, you're bigger than this prison. You're bigger than this pain. Here's the third one. When we begin to express ourselves in rejoicing and giving thanks, being positive, what it does is it's a great witness. It's a great witness to two folks. It's a great witness to you. When I'm thanking God and praising him, I'm reminded that I am part of an eternal kingdom that will never change, and that we are connected with the most wonderful King. God is good. And so when we're thanking him and praising him, I'm just saying, God, I'm just so grateful for you, that you are my king, and you always will be. That's a great witness to me, but it's also a great witness to others. You know, we live in a world that is dark and fearful and negative, but we have an opportunity to be a light, to be a voice of faith, and to be positive. And people are watching. Just like those prisoners were listening, people are listening, they're watching. You'll be surprised. A number of years ago, I was coming down Gosling Road in the Woodlands. I had, at that time, a Yukon, and a truck came pulling fast out of a driveway, an apartment complex, and T-boned me. And I felt, it was on the passenger side, and it felt as like if the whole car was turning in slow. If you've ever been in a wreck like you just felt like it was in slow motion. And it just tipped over, and then I slid on the roof of the car, and it just slid for a while. And I get out, check myself, I'm good. So I'm just like, okay, I'm good. I walk over, the guy who hit me is freaking out. And then he looks up and he recognizes me. And he realized he just T-boned his pastor. Now he's really freaking out. And I'm just calming him down. I'm like, bro, just, it's okay, it's okay. It's all right, I said, don't worry about it. And I went and sat down, waiting for the policeman to come. And what I didn't know was I had a neighbor that was watching me. He was stuck in the line that I created because we had a wreck in the middle of the road. And he told me later, I don't know where he stands for Christ. He said, I watched you. He knows I'm a pastor. He said, I watched you. He said, you were calm, you were smiling, you weren't freaking out, you weren't going off. He said, I saw that. I'm telling you guys, people, they're watching, they're listening. And when we express ourselves the right way, it makes a difference. One of Joy's favorite characters is a lady named Corrie ten Boom. She was a woman evangelist that went all over the world, but she and her family during World War II, they lived in the Netherlands, and they hid Jews from the Nazis. Over 800 Jews were saved because of their efforts. And she was put in a concentration camp, and she had come back to her town, Haarlem in the Netherlands, and she had an accident. And as the police, she was getting in the car with the policeman, and the policeman asked her name. And she said, Corrie ten Boom. And he stopped. He looked up. He said, are you one of the ten booms that I arrested 22 years ago? And she said, yes, that was me. He said, I've never forgotten that. He said, we arrested you. We brought you into the police station. You're getting ready to be sent to concentration camps and prisons. She said, he said, it felt like a celebration in there. He said, I'll never forget how your father was so calm and read the 91st Psalm. He said, I've never forgotten. There's a world out there that's hurting. There's a world out there that's fearful. There's a world that's in the dark. And you'll be surprised just how much they watch you and listen to you. And when our expressions are not like theirs, we're rejoicing. We're giving thanks. We're not on our own. We're praying. Man, what a difference it makes. Would you bow your heads for a moment? I'm going to do something a little bit different. As I was writing, I just want you to listen just for a second. As I was writing this message, thinking about this, these words came to me. We rejoice and give thanks to God. For God, you're bigger than the prison. You're greater than the pain. You're stronger than the problem. You're the God who rules and reigns. You're higher than the mountains. You're more vast than the sea. You're more beautiful than the sunrise. And you're the God who lives in me. You're the healer of my body. You're the healer of my soul. You're my strength and my provider. You're the one who makes me whole. Head still bowed and eyes closed. If you came this morning and said, you know what, Alan, you're watching online, you say, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not sure. Or maybe you're saying that I used to have a relationship with the Lord. I've gotten so far away from Him. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up or come down to the front. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around. If you're watching online, this prayer is for you. But I am going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you that I'm talking to, and you know that's you, and you're willing to admit that and willing to say, Alan, I would like your prayers. Would you slip your hand up just real quickly across this auditorium and say, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Great. You can put your hand down. Maybe you didn't lift your hand, and obviously if you're online, I can't see you. But you're thinking, man, I know I need to do something here. What a smart move. What a smart move to react to the one who loves you more than anybody else. So his heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to pray this prayer with you. We're going to pray it out loud. You pray it with us. And the whole church is going to pray it. If you're watching online, you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. I'll lead you in it. You pray this way. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Let's still bow. Father, thank you for those who have prayed that prayer, for those who have come out of spiritual darkness into the light, and for those who have come back home. And Father, for those right now who are struggling, who are wondering, what's the next step? What can I do? Father, thank you. We can always rejoice. We can always pray. We can always give thanks to you because you have been so good to us. And we appreciate our salvation. We appreciate the help. We appreciate the strength, the wisdom, the grace, the mercy. We thank you for that. We thank you that we'll always have something to rejoice about now and 10,000 years from now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearkchurch.com. Have a great week.